since that horrible assassination, I think we've lost something in this country, and I don't think we've ever replaced it. And it just feels as if part of your gut has been removed. Do you have that feeling?
Sure, but I do think we're coming much closer to being able to come grips with that, because as the book shows, just how much has been kept secret, how much is still secret, and how much that legacy of secrecy has continued to impact American lives and U.S. history. And I think we are now on the verge of finally getting rid of that and being able to explain to people, this is exactly what happened, this is why it was covered up, here's what's still secret, and here's maybe a little bit that needs to stay secret a bit longer.
When someone gets assassinated, it's either done by a madman who's simply insane, wants a little notoriety for themselves, like the killer of John Lennon, or there's a conspiracy, there's an event, there's a reason why they want this individual removed from power, from office. Let's go back just a little bit. John Kennedy was not a really loved man by some of the people around him, was he?
Sure. Well, he was a very interesting individual. You know, came from a very powerful, wealthy family, and yet he gradually came to be seen as a champion of the average working man and poorer people and those discriminated against in this country. And certainly he angered a lot of people in big business by his stance. Of course, a lot of interesting things you have to remember. Joseph Kennedy was in actuality a pretty big Texas oil man. So when you look at a lot of what people call the usual suspects, and believe me, my associate and I, Tom Hartman, did for several years, you know, you start seeing, yeah, there were problems with J. Edgar Hoover, and problems is a mild understatement. I interviewed the FBI agent who was the intermediary between J. Edgar Hoover and Bobby Kennedy, and that's got to be one of the most thankless jobs in the entire world. And there were certainly many problems and even hatred between Bobby Kennedy and LBJ, but we kept finding that even though those things existed then, and they exist between political figures now, I mean, the fighting in Congress just last week shows that, those just didn't explain what happened and why, and so we kept looking and kept looking, and then we eventually found that the key to uncovering what really happened was in the hands of Bobby Kennedy.
Bobby Kennedy, I'll explain that.
Well, you probably heard the old saying, I think this was popular in the early 90s, if you find out who controls the cover-up, you'll find out who controlled the conspiracy.
True.
And yet, as we started finding more and more, Bobby Kennedy seemed to be in the middle of things that had to be kept secret and were covered up, and Bobby Kennedy certainly didn't kill his own brother. So that made no sense. And even other people doing parts of the cover-up, like U.S. military and these generals, they were people close to Bobby. They were acting for Bobby. Bobby Kennedy named one of his sons after Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Maxwell Taylor, Max Kennedy. So we thought, well, but these shadowy generals, they couldn't have killed JFK, or surely Bobby would not have been so close to them. And they seemed to be acting for Bobby. So we eventually started talking to people close to John and Bobby Kennedy who had never spoken before or had never spoken about these events before, and we learned a truly incredible story, stranger than any fiction, and yet it's backed up by thousands of pages of documents in the National Archives. This day, anybody can go look at these, most of them declassified only in the past 10 years, many of the most important declassified because of the efforts of myself and others working behind the scenes to help the JFK Assassinations Record Review Board learn about and then declassify these documents. And what they reveal is just incredible. But it confirms everything that our sources close to the Kennedys were telling us starting in the late 80s and early 90s, before these documents were ever released.
And does it include Lamar, the CIA?
Certainly there is some CIA involvement, but in many ways it's not what a lot of people would think, because the CIA was certainly trying to kill a head of state at the time, but the head of state they were most concerned about killing, and this is from the director on down, wasn't JFK, but it was Fidel Castro.
Do you believe that Castro was Kennedy's biggest undoing in this quest to overthrow him?
Well, it was a dual thing, and it really had a lot more to do with Bobby Kennedy than JFK. because Bobby Kennedy was waging two wars in the summer and fall of 1963. One was certainly against Fidel Castro,
right.
A secret war, and this book has elements of that on a scale that you can barely imagine, that are amply documented, that have never been revealed. Yet at the same time, and it's often forgotten today, Bobby Kennedy was waging the biggest war America has ever seen against organized crime and the mafia and several ruthless godfathers in particular. And the tragedy is the secret coup plan that I'm about to tell you about was infiltrated by three of those mafia godfathers who were able to turn parts of it against JFK himself. But it all boils down, it all comes back, and the best place to start is with this incredible secret plan that the Kennedys, not just the CIA, but the Kennedys had to stage a coup against Castro and invade Cuba on December 1st, 1963.
Okay, obviously after the fiasco at the Bay of Pigs, they never let that rest then. They continued to plan an overthrow, right?
That's true, and that led to this thing called Operation Mongoose in 1962 that got nowhere except perhaps provoking the Cuban Missile Crisis. And what people don't realize is the Cuban Missile Crisis never truly ended. There's a myth that's in most history books that says JFK promised not to invade Cuba in return for ending the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That's only part of the story, as Dean Rusk, JFK's Secretary of State, told me. And he was really the first of the Kennedy associates that I got to speak with personally. He had retired to the University of Georgia, not far from where I live. And I was very surprised when he said, no, there was no pledge not to invade Cuba. And I was like, well, I've heard that a million times. You still hear it today all the time. He said, no.
Exactly.
He said there was a condition on that. And then when documents started coming out literally the next year, this has been proven by two historians at the National Security Archive, a private group at George Washington University. They've written an entire book on it. And all the documents confirm exactly what I'm about to say, which is what Rusk told me. He said, no, and you can even go back and look at newspapers at the time. Dean Rusk told me that, no, part of the deal between JFK and Nikita Khrushchev, the leader of Russia, was for UN inspections for weapons of mass nuclear destruction. In other words, the UN had to be able to go into Cuba to verify the weapons of mass destruction were gone. Castro never allowed that.